This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another special episode of Pizza and Parsecs. I'm Dave.
I'm Liv.
And you always have the darndest time with that first like 10 seconds or so where we have to stay quiet. It looks so painful for you.
I was trying not to make noise while I yawned. I'm sorry.
Oh, Liv's already bored, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I just spent a lot of time organizing something. So,
well, we can talk about that here in a minute. But first up, I want to bring in our very special guest. Is that okay with you, Liv? Is that going to be a little more exciting for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the Cam Ray with us today.
Bob the Monkey Lizard! Hey, Star Wars fans, how's everybody doing?
Bob, what on earth?
You just messed.
Take care of the monkey lizard.
Sorry, can you run that from the top? It's so embarrassing.
Well, our producers are saying that we can't, so we're just going to have to keep it, Cam.
Okay, maybe fix it in post.
I'll fix it in post.
Okay, perfect. No. Whatever that means.
Well, that's actually a pretty good introduction because Cam is like one of, if you don't know who Cam Ray is, you got to follow this guy on the Twitters and the YouTubes. This guy is probably one of the hardest working creators out there, and we are truly blessed to know him. So Cam, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I am doing so great. I'm glad to be on here. I've been wanting to get on and talk with you guys for a while, so I'm glad we got it worked out, and I'm looking forward to talk Star Wars.
Absolutely. We actually had you on a little bit of a guest spot segment type thing. That was kind of like a test run to see how you'd actually do on the show. And
you'd be well behaved. Clearly not.
But if you guys listened to our Matrix episode out there, Cam Ray was the guy that wowed us with his insight into the music of The Matrix.
Yeah.
That was an awesome series. If you have not listened to it, listen to the four-parter on The Matrix. I can't recommend it enough.
Especially Cam's part.
That was kind of the between the lines message.
Go listen to me on that episode.
It was awesome. 23 minutes. I think it was at this 23:17 mark.
Oh my gosh.
Episode 3.
Well, Kev, thank you so much for being here, man. Real quick, right here up at the top, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me mostly hanging out on Twitter. My handle is @CamRay, CamRay. And then I'm on YouTube at youtube.com/CamRaySemiProductions. And that's pretty much it.
Hey, we have a YouTube, but we're never on there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of
one live.
Yeah, it's kind of a beast. I'm not sure if I've quite figured out how to tame it yet. I don't think I'm posting enough, or maybe I really am not that funny, you know? And so maybe I need to bump it up a notch from semi-productions. But anyway.
I was there for your wannabe like marathon, and that was pretty great.
That was a blast. And actually, I have one coming up that I'm hoping one or both of you will join us on. There's no singing involved because I know that was, you know, a point of, you know, that was kind of a deal breaker. But I have one coming up that I think you guys will be interested in. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, before we dive into today's topic, let's do just a quick recap of what we've been up to in the world of geek. So I say we start with our guest today, Liv. What do you think?
Yes.
So Cam, in Weeks in Geek, we just kind of want to figure out, what have you been up to recently? It doesn't necessarily have to be anything geeky. Just what are you fired up about right now? This is your time, man.
Well, I kind of got a little flack for it a little while ago. I had the pleasure of appearing on Good Morning America. And Bub, my monkey lizard, was with me. And there's this, we got to ask Dave Filoni a question. They cut Bub's question out. It wasn't even a question. I shouldn't have brought him with me. But I asked a question about the High Republic being kind of transferred into the live or animated world. And I got a little flack on the comments about that. So anyway, all that to say, I was just basically trying to plug that I was on Good Morning America. That's pretty much what I was getting at with that. It's a name-dropping technique. But also, all that to say, I really am enjoying the High Republic. And when I asked that question, I realized that not everyone's enjoying it. In fact, you know, I don't see a lot of the Star Wars negativity. I try to stay away from it. I think you can create that or you can avoid that. But I did see some of that. But basically what I'm getting at is I'm loving the High Republic. I can't wait for the next wave to come out in June and July. And so right now I'm reading the third book in the Alphabet Squadron series. And then as these books come out or as I read them, I've been also reading the Revenge of the Sith novelization, which thank you, Dave and Liv. You guys are who kind of made me want to read that. It was a while back when you talked to the Galactic Podcast or the Yes. Gal Galactic Podcast. And I was like, well, I got to check that out. And I hate that I still haven't gotten through it because I'll read some and then I'll read something else. I need to get to it. So after the Alphabet Squadron, I'm going to be reading Revenge of the Sith. So I've been doing a lot of reading and just enjoying the Bad Batch, I think, along with everyone else. I'm enjoying that. I haven't really caught up on some of the older series, you know, the Clone Wars that they posted, the original one. So I'm still kind of making my way through that. So that's about it.
Dope.
Dude, that Revenge of the Sith, that what a great book.
It's great. It's so good. I've only made it through probably the first, I'd say maybe 10th of it, but it is amazing. Just, it is super deep. I love it.
That's awesome. And, you know, you talked a lot about High Republic. I know Liv's neck deep in High Republic right now.
Yes. I really, really like the High Republic. I finished the first one since last time we posted a podcast. I can't remember. And I'm halfway through Test of Courage. My goal is to have that finished like this week. Nice. And then I'm actually listening to the main novels, not the young reader novels, on Audible. So I have the second one.
Sponsored.
Not sponsored. Not sponsored. So I'll be listening to Into the Dark as soon as I finish The Hobbit, which I'm listening to right now as I read nice. Test of Courage. So
that is awesome. Oh man, I'm loving it. It's and by the time I got to the end of Light of the Jedi, that's when it all kind of, you know, it's like, because you're going through it and you're like, I'm not sure, where are the Sith? Is it really going to hold up, Jedi versus these, you know, makeshift criminals? And then by the end, you're like, at least for me, I was sold. So.
Oh my gosh. I love the Nihil so much. And yeah, I've made it very clear that I would want to be a part of the Nihil.
They are great. It's pretty awesome. There's a lot of elements there. And I think we're going to see some Sith elements come into play, you know, as the High Republic develops. So,
oh, I agree. I think this is going to set us up for because I know that the Sith are quote unquote in hiding right now. I think this is going to be the beginning of them coming out of hiding very soon. But Dave hasn't even finished the first one, so I can't be very specific on what all I love about it quite yet.
I'm working on it. It's a slow read for me.
Yeah,
this one is. There are some books that I blow through. Like I think I blew through the first of the new Thrawn trilogy in like less than a week.
Yeah, you were done with like that very quick.
And this one has taken me like 5 months to get halfway through.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to listen to.
See, I read it. I didn't listen to it, but I'd love to listen. Is Mark Thompson doing the voices on it?
Do you know? I don't know. Okay. Hold on, I can look. One moment, please. I will be quick.
It's okay. We'll fix it in post. People are going to be like, wow, they just knew that off the top of their head. Or I might just keep all of this and expose what frauds we are.
That'd be great. I hate Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. It's Mark Thompson. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
He's the narrator.
All right. I love him.
It's fantastic. The person who narrates the next one, though, is not the same person.
Right. I thought one of them was someone different. I think like the young adult, the Test of Courage is someone different, right?
Yeah. Christopher Walken, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. The Nile.
That's right.
Evil. The not good.
Into the Dark is Dan Bittner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Featuring Christopher Walken.
No.
Got it.
No.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken as Dan, whatever, as Christopher Walken.
Right.
Yoda was arrogant.
Arrogant. The end. Was.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to this cool. Week in Geek, listening to The Hobbit.
That's awesome. All?
No. We got into a new hobby, Dave.
Yes.
I was going to let you share about it.
Yeah. So we got into Magic the Gathering.
Oh, boy.
We're nerds.
So I haven't had a ton of free time recently, but in the free time I have had, it's been spent playing Magic the Gathering. And this past weekend, JR, one of my co-hosts from the Drift Space, and one of my best friends came over for the weekend.
Ate Pop-Tarts. I was infuriated. I'm not going to mention the fact that I bought him the Pop-Tarts.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't like toaster strudels, so he had Pop-Tarts. I had toaster strudels.
Hot takes here on pizza and parsecs.
Always.
Pop-Tarts are cardboard.
Amen.
Mm.
They're gross.
But other than that, did a comic book store run with JR.
Yeah.
And picked up some new action figures. I got a really nice Batgirl statue.
Yeah.
Which is so, so sweet. And then
it's beautiful.
Got two action figures from Dark Knight Returns, one Batman, one Carey Kelly Robin. And those are absolutely awesome as well. So
you got me a Batgirl action figure.
I did get you a Batgirl action figure as well.
She's on my desk.
Yes. The nice Batgirl action figure is like a porcelain one.
Yeah.
So got to make sure that that's taken care of. And your desk is downstairs where animals live. So we can't have that.
No, we'll probably keep it up here with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Where no animals live.
All righty. Well, what do you say we go ahead and dive into today's topic?
Let's dive.
You know, we didn't talk about Star Wars for like several months, and now that's all we're going to be talking
all
about.
All our next episodes are Star Wars.
Yeah, pretty much with Bad Batch. We're doing an episode by episode on that. So we're making up for lost time here. But today we are going to jump ahead a little bit in our chronological series on Star Wars and do A New Hope.
We're skipping Rogue One for now.
For now. We're not ready to fight over that yet.
A New Hope is actually the only Star Wars film I've never seen, but I'll give it a shot.
I hope I'm pronouncing this right. George?
I think so.
George A?
Yeah, I think it's Jorge. I'm pretty
Jorge.
Sure.
Jorge.
I think so. Yeah.
Jorge Lucas.
Lucas.
Yes. Jorge Lucas. Yes.
Mm, it's a beautiful name.
It's a strong name.
It is a strong name.
Very strong.
It's a strong Christian name. You know?
don't
the Force
him.
Is strong with that name.
Jorge Lucas.
So, I mean, this is honestly a movie that needs no introduction. We all know it. We all love it. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the ins and outs of it. I want to get into the feels, talking about what it was like the first time that we saw it and how that has kind of developed over the years. I mean, you know, we're getting a ton of Star Wars content. And I know for me, at least, which I'll get into, everything that I have watched over the last few years, especially with the sequel trilogy and the Clone Wars and all that, it kind of almost makes me view it in a little bit of a different light, in a good way. I love it. It just adds a whole nother layer to it for me, which I always kind of appreciated. But, you know, once again, let's start with Cam. Cam, talk about sort of what it was like the first time watching A New Hope or Star Wars Episode 4.
He just said he's never watched it.
It could have been a commercial. Did you enjoy the commercial?
Yeah, it looks really cool. The shiny gold guy and the little trash can that rolls around looks really neat. No. So, yeah, I can't remember the first time I saw it because I was too young to remember those times. I was born in 1979, so I was kind of, you know, Empire came out a year after, you know, while I was, I guess I was not even one yet when Empire came out. And so it kind of has always been a part of me. Star Wars has. The big image that comes to mind when I think of Star Wars that just really like still gives me that nostalgic, the chills, is Vader entering the Corvette, you know, in the all white with him wearing all black and the smoke and, you know, coming in and trying to get the plans to the Death Star. But, and Darth Vader is my favorite character. And so I have that image burned in my memory. I don't know, you know, when I first saw it, but, you know, we always, for my memory, we always had the VHS tapes and I watched it all the time. I had all of the toy-wise, I had all of the Return of the Jedi toys because I guess, of course, at that point, I would have been kind of that age to, that's when those toys would have been popular. I can't really speak to the first time I saw it, but it is definitely, it's one of those, it's the go-to, like, I think Empire's probably my favorite, but then it kind of runs into Jedi. Don't want to get into all that. But A New Hope is one of those, it's like the comfort movie that if I'm just like, I just want to put on Star Wars and I want to put on one that I can just put on. It's going to instantly make me happy and just kind of, you know, give me those feels. I put on A New Hope. So
it is like a trusty noble steed, I'd say.
Yeah.
That's a very good way to put it.
Who needs a soundboard when you got Cam Ray?
Yeah, fix it in post. Sorry, I'm making this really hard on Dave.
No, I'm keeping it all, Cam.
I haven't even started the farting part, so it's going to get really bad. With this whole gag coming up, I don't want to spoil anything.
But yeah, absolutely. Like when you were talking about Vader in the Corvette, like that scene, it imposes such a contrast of ideals and this and good and evil. I mean, it does so much in that scene. And that is definitely something that I don't think you're alone in that. It really sticks with you. It has permanence to it.
It does. And it was totally, by intent, George Lucas, you know, keeping things simple, it, you know, black, white, good, evil. And like you said, that scene, it paints the picture for the whole, everything that is Star Wars, I think, you know. It's just that simple. It's the good versus evil, right versus wrong.
I love A New Hope so much that I walked down the aisle to the throne room from A New Hope.
You did?
I did. You were there.
Dave doesn't remember. He was in awe.
Like you, Cam, I think Empire is definitely my favorite of the movies, but A New Hope is my second favorite, mainly because I think A New Hope is the one that I've watched the most. I remember growing up, and that would be one that my dad would put on all the time. And I think for me, the parts that stuck out the most were Princess Leia watching Alderaan get blown up, and then her pretty much being a total awesome individual telling Luke like how to get things done and doing the things that the boys should have been doing, but you know, they were essentially her idea at the end of the day.
She a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But also, you know, the scenes, like, I think it's one of the most iconic scenes within the movie is when the Millennium Falcon comes back and you hear "Yahoo!" or whatever Han Solo says. That sounded very much like Mario.
Yeah, I was like, are you grabbing some coins?
Ba-ding! I love that scene. Like these particular scenes stuck out to me. And growing up with a father who absolutely adores Star Wars and everything Star Wars, it was very hard to escape in my house. And movie nights consisted of watching Star Wars with my dad, especially when my mom was like working late or if she was out of town with my grandmother or whatever. It was Sloppy Joe's and Star Wars. We would always have Sloppy Joes for dinner, and we would put a Star Wars VHS in the television back when the VHSs were attached to the television and watch Star Wars. And I love it.
That's awesome.
That's chef's kiss. Great.
Yep.
That's sort of similar to me. Like, A New Hope has a deeply rooted, like, familial feel to me, because this is a movie that, well, let me back up a little bit. Like, my father and I connected through a couple different ways. I think I said on the podcast before, like, my mom affectionately calls my dad Spock.
I see that now.
And now here we are on this podcast talking about Star Wars.
Everything but Star Trek.
And that's not to say he was emotionally distant or anything like that. He just was a lot like Spock. But we connected through a lot of things. One of which was like Boy Scouts, and the other was movies that he loved. A couple of those would be things like the James Bond series, Indiana Jones, not the least of which is Star Wars. My father introduced me to Star Wars, and I remember, it definitely wasn't the first time, but I have this vivid memory of watching Star Wars with my dad in the basement, A New Hope, and just loving it. It was awesome. It was a movie that I watched, and I was like, this is something important.
Yeah.
I think I used the term permanence before, but I was like, this is going to stick with me for a while, for sure. And of course, I loved Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. I loved Return of the Jedi when I was a kid. Loved Return of the Jedi. That was my favorite one growing up, probably.
Yeah.
I think I was just thinking that the other day, because my memories of playing and like just the overall fun factor, Return of the Jedi has it all. You have all the characters, the Jabba barge scene, the final battle sequence, all that whole third act is amazing. You know, you have the Emperor, who I love, who's in it a lot. It's just, it's a perfect, you know. And then I think as I got older cinematically, I think I like Empire, but I don't like even putting them into a box because they all have something special.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at as an adult for sure. Like with any of the Star Wars movies, like you ask me what my favorite Star Wars movie is, it changes on the day.
Empire!
Changes on the day. I think, you know, they, like Cam said, they all have something to offer for whatever kind of mood you're in. Even the prequels live.
No.
I will die on that hill.
No.
Yeah, the prequels have grown on me more and more over the years.
Love the prequels. They're
No.
Amazing.
I like the content around the prequels.
Okay.
Not the prequels themselves.
Well, we've already chatted about the prequels. This is
getting a little awkward.
I like Empire.
You're trying to talk about everything that's not the movie we're talking about now.
I do love A New Hope, though. Let's be real.
It is really great. I mean, when it came out in 1977, one of the things that we had talked about with your friends on Call to the Table was sort of the spiritual linkage between Star Wars and Christianity.
Yeah.
And what I always kind of appreciated as an adult is that when George made these movies and certainly like put the foundation of it all within A New Hope, it was to encourage this idea of a spiritual curiosity. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily pushing you towards one way or another, but just to, you know, get you curious about that. And I always liked that, like how he was an advocate for theology in general, and how he kind of put that into his movies. And we as Christians can watch it and identify with certain things in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things I wanted to call out first, was that he did put a lot of these really cool religious components in there that applied not only to Christianity, but, you know, Buddhism and other religions too. And I always appreciated and liked that, how he made it very accessible for the spiritual viewer.
Yeah. I love that.
And what always spoke to me, and I guess I'm talking about the whole original trilogy. But I remember, and I guess this is supposed to be New Hope, but you know, in Jedi, just the whole, the redemption of Anakin. I loved that scene, him taking the helmet off. Obviously it was cool as a kid because, oh, he's taking his helmet off. I get to see what Darth Vader looks like, but more so it was, whoa, this guy's so bad, but he's still his father. And in the end, he makes the right decision and he's able to be redeemed, you know? And it's that whole, that's the whole message of Christianity, you know, is redemption, you know? It's like obviously, you know, you make mistakes, but you can always, you know, you can turn around, you know, you admit your wrongs and you walk a different direction. So
absolutely.
And I think with A New Hope, one of the things that I love the most about the comparison between like Christianity and this movie in particular is the beginning stages of what it's like to have blind faith. You know, Luke is making decisions based off of uncertainty and non-tangible promises given to him by Ben. Ben telling him, yeah, I can train you as a Jedi. Yeah, we can go this way. Yeah, we can do this. I'm going to take you here. And Luke at first is hesitant, like, no, I need to like take care of my aunt and uncle, like all of this. Well, when they are killed, he's like, yep, okay, I'm going to follow you. I don't know what any of this is. I don't know my father. You apparently knew my father. And yeah, I'm gonna follow you blindly and go with you. And that leads into so many more like big picture faith-based things, like Anakin's redemption, having that faith that Luke has to help Vader go from the dark side to the light side. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll save you. I'll become a good guy. And then I'll die and turn to a blue ghost. I'm doing a little dance as I say blue ghost. Except I did not like the change from OG Vader to Hayden Christensen.
Oh,
but we ain't
gosh.
Gonna talk about that.
Oh, I we'll kind of that. Like that.
I do too. It worked for me.
Yeah, me too. When the special editions came out, and then later when he changed that, I was all for all of that. I was, you know, I guess I saw it. This is George Lucas's thing, and like if I were creating something, you know, I know over time you want to change things or technology changes, and I just thought, you know, it's like, okay, well that was kind of cool because he connected now the prequels, which he made years later, but now it makes it feel more like it's all connected a little bit better, but.
I think I just disliked it because it was a prequel thing.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen someone or talked to someone about this prequel roadblock you have? Or, I mean,
I'm in therapy for it.
Okay. It takes time. It's a journey, really.
Yeah.
It's an incredible journey. Homeward bound.
Yeah. It might take me lifetime. We'll see.
But yeah, like you talked about the special editions, and I do remember the first time that I saw A New Hope special edition when they had that scene with Jabba in Docking Bay 94 and Han.
I liked that.
I flipped out the first time I saw that. I was like, this wasn't in my original VHS tape.
Yeah, I liked that. He stepped on Jabba's tail. That's like my favorite part.
I was like, that was so cool.
It was dope.
But yeah, so, you know, we're talking about, you know, this of all these themes and everything. And the other one, it obviously is this idea of sacrifice too. And yes, specific to A New Hope, I think of two specific things. Number one is you have Leia, right? Leia's a huge one.
My homegirl.
Yes, that strong, independent woman.
She is by far my favorite female in the Star Wars, like, original movies.
Oh yeah,
she's so good.
Yeah,
I've wanted to name my daughter Leia for years.
It's a really good name.
It is a good name.
Strong Christian name.
Yeah,
it is. Not quite as strong as Jorge Lucas, but it's pretty close. Pretty close.
Still, of course, it's a little weaker with her.
Right, it'll still put the fear of God in someone, though.
Truth.
Testify. But yes, like she loses her entire planet, her family, everyone in this movie.
Homegirl doesn't even cry.
No.
She's like, it's fine. I'm strong. She probably cried later. I would have cried later.
She probably did.
Yeah. We just don't see that part.
Just one single tear.
Yeah. I mean, Fergie taught me big girls don't cry, though.
Yeah.
So maybe she just like powered through it.
Maybe that was just her alibi.
Yes.
Oh, good one. But then you also have Luke, right? And this kind of goes a little bit into the hero's journey, which I don't think we could talk about A New Hope or the original trilogy here without bringing up hero's journey. But Luke loses what he believes to be his entire family, catapulting him into this adventure. And then he loses his new friend, his new dad, basically.
Oh my gosh, tragedy.
Yeah.
It's just one thing after another. But through that, like, you know, he became like a believer like that and just dove headfirst into this hokey religion and dedicated his life to it, which I think is pretty incredible. Like, for something like that to happen to me, like, that would have had to be a very profound experience, not only with losing my entire family, but also whatever he was feeling and experiencing when Obi-Wan was giving him the Force 101 course.
Right.
I think that's really cool.
Nothing to add, Your Honor. That is. No, I agree.
Ditto.
I mean, I did talk a little bit about Hero's Journey here, and I guess I'll just go ahead and dive into my little monologue here on Hero's Journey. You know, when you talk about, like I said, when you talk about Star Wars, it's hard not to bring up Joseph Campbell. Like, my introduction to Joseph Campbell was through Star Wars. I learned about the Hero's Journey, and thank the maker, I had a library of podcasts out there to kind of help me walk through that. You know, your call to an adventure, the threshold, Inmost Cave. It follows a tried and tested structure that affords us so many awesome opportunities to invest in these characters. And I can't not mention this, but check out the Red 5 Network for if you want to learn more about that.
They're dope.
They are indeed. But we could spend this entire podcast about the hero's journey, and folks over at Red 5 have already done that here, so I'm going to try to do something a little different here. I kind of wanted to acknowledge Carl Jung, who came before, and briefly Adolf Bastian, who actually came before him. But both Carl and Adolf's works heavily influenced Campbell's A Hero with Thousand Faces, and both are cited a number of times in there, which, of course, as we know, Hero with Thousand Faces influenced a lot of the structure that we see in Star Wars. So I just wanted to run through a couple of character archetypes that we see in A New Hope that Jung established, and there are five of them. And then Campbell came along and evolved and then expanded them into what we see in A Hero with a Thousand Faces. But we have folks like the mentor, who of course is our Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's there to like teach and guide the hero, preparing him for the trials ahead. You got your Threshold Guardian, which is your Owen Lars, the folks who serve as a barrier to the adventure that they're about to go on. Doesn't necessarily need to be a villain, though we do see that in the prequels. The Herald. Our homegirl Leia is the Herald.
Whoop.
Characters that shake things up for the hero. And Leia's message is that which shakes things up for Luke. And it makes him go on this entire journey for the next six movies. Then you have the Shadow, our man in black, Vader. This is your quintessential villain. He almost a literal shadow. And I read a quote that the shadow is meant to, quote, typify the demons that whisper to the hero, end quote. These demons rest in Luke's lineage, having too much of his father in him, as Uncle Owen said. I just think it's really cool how literal that archetype works in to Vader's character there. That's really, really cool. And then you got the shapeshifter, Han and Leia together, this time bomb, chaotic, unpredictable. Specifically with Han himself, you know, he's hiding his true heart underneath this sort of guise of a selfish gun for hire mercenary type dude, a smuggler. And then, of course, the trickster. This is the last one here. We got 3PO and R2. And of course, we get them to help us kind of introduce these other characters. That's how we kind of started this movie. And if they are incredible comic relief as well. So just kind of wanted to run through that a little bit and talk about some of the ideas behind the characters and the journeys they go through. And yeah, you know, I still can't get over how perfectly the shadow archetype fits in with Vader's character and this idea that it just goes through Luke's entire lineage, like that black mark in Luke's lineage. Like, that's so cool. I love that.
I really love the fact that one of the big factors of A New Hope is it's in comparison to other movies that came out around its time and even later on to like now, there's nothing that really compares to the storyline that George Lucas put together for A New Hope that sets us up in such a great way for the rest of the movies. And yes, I'm even including the prequels and the post-quels.
Sequel trilogy?
Mm-hmm. I like post-quels more.
Post-quels?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Is there, prequels, it sounds post-quels.
Like, it sounds like something you order online.
Yeah. No, like, I think it's really cool that it follows this, I don't know what you would call a hero's journey aside from structure. It follows this kind of like character structure, but it's in its own unique way where it's still one of the most iconic movies, one of the biggest movies that you ask anybody, hey, have you ever seen Star Wars? 9 times out of 10, they've seen A New Hope. If that's the only one they've seen it. And it's I don't know very many people who dislike that movie.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Like, just because you're following like a tried and true structure doesn't make it a masterpiece. It's about the execution.
I can name several movies that are not masterpieces that follow a structure. Twilight.
Twilight?
Yes.
But there is something to be said about George and the execution and the foresight he had and his grand plan. Not unlike Palpatine's grand plan, except this is meant to be something enjoyed as opposed to the downfall of the Republic.
Yeah.
And I think he still keeps it simple, you know, that it can get so the hero's journey, you can get, you know, really deep and you know, intricate with it, but really George keeps it pretty simple, like we're alluding to with the black and white and the message of hope and family. But he it's very, not that he spells it all out for you, but I think sometimes we delve too deep into some of the Star Wars, and when people start getting frustrated with things, and ultimately it's a kid's movie, so he's kind of making these ideas, you know, accessible to younger people. And so I think that's what it is. And so it's fun and it's a little more lighthearted. But as far as the hero's journey with Luke, you can definitely see, because in A New Hope, I'm really not a fan of Luke. He's so whiny and just gets on my last nerve. But that if he wasn't like that, when you get to Return of the Jedi and he comes in as a Jedi, you know, and pretty much, you know, kind of takes over and he's got everything under control. At that point, I'm a huge Luke fan, you know? So you see this journey, you see the hero's journey take place. And then even, I would say, even into the post-Wolves, you know, you see, you know,
catching on.
I think he, you know, whatever, say what you will about The Last Jedi and all of this, but, you know, he completes, you know, he kind of does the same thing Yoda does. You know, but he's still going on a journey, but then he ends up, you know, I think he completes his story.
You know, as you were talking and talking about like how whiny Luke is, like, I was going to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
He's not as whiny as Anakin.
No, it reminded me of my first impression of Ahsoka, actually.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. I never thought Luke was too whiny, but that's because the second I saw Anakin, little Anakin, and Hayden Christensen's Anakin, I was like, ugh, I'll deal with Luke all day, every day over this guy.
I think anything with the prequels is just tarnished for you. So,
no.
No.
I like Clone Wars.
But you don't like Attack of the Clones.
No.
I feel like I like it better because of the Clone Wars.
Mm. I like Revenge of the Sith more because of Attack of the Clones. What?
Okay. I don't know. I remember always liking the prequels when I saw them in the theater and just, I was always into it. I think also I watched as they were filming them online because they had the live webcams going on, and I maybe I just didn't think too hard about it, or because I definitely can watch it and like some of the, you know, the dialogue, you know, the things that everyone points out are kind of cringy, but then I also can see, well, it's like this teenage guy and he's trying to flirt with, you know, Padme, and it's awkward because she's already told him right at the start he's just a little kid. And so I think some of that can be, it might not have been intentional acting wise at the time, but in my mind, that's how I make excuses for the way they're talking.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Well, let's jump back into A New Hope.
A good movie.
Oh, she doesn't let it go.
No, she doesn't. Okay, so I'm gonna force you to talk about A New Hope now.
Okay.
What makes this movie special for you?
Well, I think one being the first introduction I've ever had to Star Wars and kind of springboarding me into the realization that I'm a huge nerd. I mean, growing up, you know, before Harry Potter was a thing, before, you know, half of the things that I enjoy in the nerdverse was introduced to me, Star Wars was there. Before Matrix, before anything else, Star Wars was always there. And it kind of has that foundation for me of my nerddom, of how I feel nerdy. And at the end of every day, you know, yeah, I love Harry Potter. We all know how much I love Harry Potter. But the structure is formatted on top of my love for Star Wars. And it is the very first nerdy thing that I loved. And it's grown throughout my 29 years of life. You know, I would wake up Christmas morning and there would be something Star Wars related for all of me, like for me and my siblings. I remember getting my first lightsaber, and it was the one that fully retracted into the hilt. It was a green one because I love green. And it all stems from A New Hope. It's the movie that I feel like everyone can relate to. And even if you're not a proclaimed nerd, you've seen it, you've probably loved it, and you can relate to a nerd because that movie is so good. Recently, my love for it has just been every time I watch it, I start to cry. Especially the throne room, because it just brings me back to walking down the aisle, walking to you for the last time as a, like, quote unquote, single woman, and getting to like marry you. And that was like the lead into it. Like that was the first song that started the rest of our lives together. And that has a really special place in my heart.
Oh God.
I'm surprised he's not saying that we're gross or something. Didn't he do that when we first started posting pictures?
That was so beautiful. I've grown so much since then.
In the what, 8 months?
Oh man, that was beautiful. I'm just kidding. That's disgusting. Please, guys, get a room.
Knock it off.
Jeez.
You talked about scenes that strike you really emotionally. Every time I watch A New Hope, there's invariably something that depending on what I'm feeling or thinking about that day will strike me a lot differently than it had the last time that I watched it. It wasn't the throne room scene for me.
Well, I'm offended.
I think for me, it was probably when Luke is chilling at Obi-Wan's crib, and Obi-Wan is talking about his father and like, here's his lightsaber. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I don't know why. I went on kind of like a little bit of a mental rabbit hole on this. And in my mind, I think it was, honestly, I think it was because you had, you recently watched the Twin Suns episode on Rebels, which features Obi-Wan, and that's all I'm saying.
Oh my gosh.
And
so good.
That episode though.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
So I think that was fresh in my mind. And I was thinking about it like, wow, you know, Obi-Wan has been there for a long time alone, watching over this kid. And I'm sitting there thinking about like, how many times has he rehearsed this to himself? Yeah. Like preparing to have this conversation with this kid about what the future may have in store for him. And I loved thinking about that and how rewarding that must have felt to have been able to finally sort of reveal himself to him. Like that, I just thought that was really cool.
I wonder how many times he sat there by the fire, was like, all right, hello there. No. Hello there. No. Hello there. That one right there.
Like, I'm going to call him. Picks up the phone. This is Owen. Hangs up.
Goodbye there.
Goodbye. You know what scene is always extremely striking for me, though?
What's that?
It's when all the stormtroopers walk out after C-3PO is like, they went down the hole. They're going this way. And one of the stormtroopers hits his head on the door.
Yeah.
It's striking.
Ha. That was a good one there, Liv.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's a zinger.
I was thinking of that the whole time. Like, don't lose this joke.
Well, thank God.
I was listening to you.
So what about you, Cam? Like, did you have... What's an emotionally profound moment that you have with A New Hope? Like, what makes this movie special for you? Scenes, characters, whatever.
I think George Lucas has alluded to it, you know, him looking out, you know, over the classic staring out over the Twin Suns. You know, it's that whole, he's a small town farmer, you know, he's never been anywhere, and just kind of the dreaming, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it, or like wanting to do something bigger. We're thinking there's something bigger out there, you know, and having that opportunity. So I think it's just that whole, that, and it's the music too, that goes along with it, you know, that just, oh my gosh, it just brings it all together. But just that whole, that, I guess it's the big theme, but him just kind of standing there looking, and it's even the twin sons. That's something, you know, as a kid, it's like, there's only one son, you know? So even that was kind of magical. It's such a simple thing, you know, other planets have more than one sun, but that's not something we have. I thought that was pretty cool, and it really kind of brought that dreaming. I've always been a dreamer, and my mom turned me on to like all of the behind the scenes videos, you know, early on. Like, I would watch it, and then she would show me all the how they did the special effects. And so from an early age, I wanted to be a part of ILM. And so I think it all ties together, because kind of what Star Wars is presenting is also kind of like that idea, like in real life, you know, you can pursue your dreams and your passions, and you can do it, even if you're a whiny farm boy, you know?
Yeah. When you were talking about that twin son scene, I was like, I wonder how much of this is the music for Cam.
Well, when I'm picturing it, I'm hearing the music. So it's probably, that's why I mentioned the music. Because the visual is great, the colors, and the twin sons is awesome. That's just, but yeah, the music, the build up, and just, you know, the way he's standing there, just kind of looking out, and
yeah, it I love in that scene specifically, like as he's staring out, you can almost hear his thoughts through the music. He is daydreaming about getting out of there, and sort of as this narrative that he's playing out in his head, this is how it plays out for me, at least, as the narrative plays out in his head and it gets faster paced and he gets more excited about it, the music crescendos.
Yes.
It just fits so perfectly in that moment. And you can also hear that moment of realization, like, oh, I'm back on Tatooine now. I'm not out flying in the stars. That's when the music lets off a little bit more.
Right.
And that's not unique to that scene either. I think it's been said before, but this music is almost like it pretty much is a character in and of itself. Mm-hmm. In A New Hope, not just A New Hope, but it really is its own character, but it also serves as an extension of the emotions of the characters in the scene.
Well, I also feel like that one scene in particular sets up so many other characters, past and future. We see multiple different times somebody in the Star Wars lineage, or disconnected from the Star Wars lineage, but self-proclaiming in the Star Wars lineage, stand in that almost that same spot in the same way. And we get to see those pieces of that dream come together in its entire timeline, which I think is super cool. And it's utilized in such a way that we're constantly brought back to that nostalgia of that one moment. And we get to see the hope and how faith and belief in faith has gotten us all the way to the end, and how the opposite end of the spectrum, how we've gone from this point to this point. Like, we've seen the whole timeline in this one spot, because I think we see it in every single trilogy.
You definitely have those scenes that are similar to that.
Yeah, it's great.
Those deep in thought scenes. And I knew we were not going to make it through this episode without talking about some John Williams and the music.
Well, oh, duh. Man. We're talking with Cam.
Yes.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Star Wars without the music. I think everyone can agree with that. And more so that, I mean, you could say that about any movie, but I think Star Wars I can't imagine, and I'm sure if it was something else, we would, you know, it would be okay. But the music, you know, even like George, didn't they do a screening without the music? And it was, you know, it just played so differently then. And they're like, no, we haven't put the score to it yet. And then it just totally changed the thing.
I think it would be funny to hear it without the music.
I don't think that's it'd be possible.
I would laugh because it would be so weird.
I would love to see that version.
Me too, because I would probably just want to sing it myself.
I think that's the point, right? Like, this is music that really sticks with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's a movie that you could literally watch on mute and still hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I think that John Williams uses classical music. It's timeless versus using, you know, weird instruments and sounds of the 80s or whatever. You know, it's just, I think that's why I like his scoring. I think movie scores that stick with that, and unless you're going, you know, it depends on what textures you need, but I think that's what keeps it classic as well, with that timeless feel.
Man, I think just overall, A New Hope is a literal symphony of right things happening at the right time.
Agreed.
And it's complete on its own. You know, it's like, of course, we've got the trilogies and then the trilogy of trilogies and then whatever other is coming out in the supplemental. But you can watch A New Hope beginning to end, satisfied. I'm done. I'm good. I don't need any more or any less.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up as well. I think one of the really cool things about this trilogy, like the OGs, is you can watch them almost out of order. Like, I remember being able to just watch A New Hope, and then I would watch Empire like 6 months later after watching several different Star Wars flicks in between. Like, they stand strongly on their own. They're better united, obviously. Like, we love them united, but they also are very strong by themselves. And I love that. You could just go in and watch Empire Strikes Back without watching A New Hope and still gather information. You still get a little bit of character development. You still get a really solid story arc. You still get a beginning and an end. Yeah, there's like little cliffhangers, but they're not so massive where it's like, oh my gosh, now I have to watch the next one to get anywhere with my life.
It's not like Rey handing the lightsaber to Luke in the last 2 seconds. It's like, oh, what's he going to say? And then it cuts off and you know you have 3 years now.
Exactly.
It's like, are you kidding me?
J.J. Abrams, learn from George Lucas.
Why for, cuz?
Cliffhangers are awful. I'm watching Lost, and I'm almost finished. And of course, that's a J.J. Abrams thing. And it's like, stop preparing me with new questions. Answer my old questions first.
Right. We're wrapping this up, and you're giving me more questions. This is not good.
Yeah. Like, oh, thank you for giving me Luke. But now I have more questions.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, when I went to see it, when it first came out in the theaters, The Fellowship of the Rings, I had never read the books, didn't know anything about it, but my friends were super into it. And so they were so excited about it. So of course I was so excited about it because they were excited about it and it looked cool from the previews. So we went, we watched it, we get to the end and I'm like, what in the world? That was the worst ending of a story ever. This is awful. And they're like, you know, it's a trilogy, right? You know, there's two more movies coming out. And I had no clue. And I was like, oh, but then I was kind of mad because now I've got to wait. So anyway, sorry, yeah. Side story.
No, you're good. I'm listening to The Hobbit now because it was recommended by one of my dance moms. Another shout out to Missy.
Is it the one that's read by Andy Serkis?
Oh, I'm listening to the dramatized one with like music and characters. Gotcha. Like
it's got an ensemble cast in it.
It really does. And it's nice. So much fun. It takes me back to when I was this homeschool kid where I'd listen to The Odyssey on tape and there was all these characters. But I actually don't like the Lord of the Rings movies like at all. Like at all. But I promised that I would give these a try and then rewatch Lord of the Rings to see if my appreciation of them would grow. Because I just can't handle the amount of crying that happens in The Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of it. Not a lot of crying in Star Wars, though. Who shot first?
McClunky.
Yep.
What?
It was McClunky.
Okay.
Sounds like Shrek.
Couldn't
McClunky.
Couldn't go through A New Hope without asking that question. No. Who shot first?
Only Jorge Lucas really knows the answer to that. But.
Yeah.
Good luck getting him to answer it.
Saint Jorge Lucas.
Saint Jorge. Sir Jorge Lucas.
Sir? He's a sir too?
He's a Sir Saint Mount Jorge Lucas.
It seems like we're spiraling a bit here. Cam, did you have anything else on the New Hopes?
No, just like I said, I think it is the standard, I think, that all Star Wars is based on. It was the first, it's the original. It's complete in its own, and then it just, everything since it has expanded, but I think you have to go back to A New Hope. That's your platform or your primer coat right there, and if you follow that framework, I think everything else, it has everything that is Star Wars within it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of sort of like a writer's Bible, where specifically with a show like Batman the Animated Series, there's this thing called the Writer's Bible that they hand off to the next writer for a new episode, and that will tell them everything that they need to know in order to make sure that the episode they're writing fits in. And I couldn't agree with you more that A New Hope kind of serves as that Writer's Bible for the rest of the Star Wars universe, for sure.
Right.
It serves as a benchmark, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would personally, if I met that one rare person on the planet who's like, oh, I've never seen any Star Wars movies. Like, first off, do you own Disney Plus? How? Why for cuz? I do this regularly. I tell people, watch A New Hope first. Don't go in this like chronological order.
No, not for the first viewing.
No, go through the original trilogy first, then go and explore outwardly, but always start with A New Hope because it is the foundation to everything Star Wars. Every ounce of Star Wars material that we have at this point stems from A New Hope. All the books, all the comics, I mean, even Light of the Jedi I'm reading or listening to it, and I'm like, I can feel how A New Hope has influenced this, because it's the groundwork, it's the foundation of all Star Wars.
Agreed.
I like going in 7-2-5.
You're a monster. Order. Monster.
Kill the beast!
We were watching a TV show the other day and I was trying to count something. And he's over here like 18, 17, 15, 12. I was like, I'm not even counting anymore.
I must say, Dave, you are a very handsome monster with your head shaved. I must say.
Isn't Sorry. He?
Well, thank you, sir.
He's so handsome.
I'm just trying to get on your level, Cam.
Yeah, it's welcome to the club.
It's a privilege to be here, brother.
I like it. I think bald guys are awesome.
I mean, every day's a good hair day, you know?
Right. Game changer. Complete game changer.
Yeah. Oh, it's humid outside? Don't care. Oh, it's frigid? I'll put on a hat. And guess what? I'll take it off and I'll still look just as good.
Don't have to worry about windy days anymore.
Nope. I need to probably...
Wendy's is only a fast food chain at this point.
No!
Snap!
Alrighty, what do you say? We blow this thing and get out of here.
That was really good.
Yeah?
I liked that.
Nice.
Yeah. But first, segue incoming.
I'm waiting. Well, was that your segue?
You're literally biting your nails.
I know. I'm like, what's he gonna say?
If your uncle isn't letting you head over to Tashi Station to pick up some powder converters, stow that angst away. Head on over to the Red5Network.com. Forget your worries. Listen to a podcast. We are proud to call the Red 5 Network home. We have all of these amazing pods. Star Wars pods, geek pods,
all the above
sci-fi
pods,
fantasy pods. You'll love them all. Check them out. Can't guarantee they speak Bocce, but maybe they will. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Scarif Scuttlebutt spoke Bocce.
I thought you said hibachi, and it made me a little bit hungry. I'm hungry now. And I just ate a whole burrito.
But that's not the only place you can go for good times. Once again, we want to thank our very special guest, Cam, for being with us today on the show. Cam, Woo! Thank you so much. We were so blessed to have you for this casual little fun discussion on A New Hope. And just... turned into a lot of other discussions as well, but it was a blast.
Well, I'm glad to be on anytime. I loved it.
Well, I want to go ahead and say, for the record, all the frenemy stuff that I feel like is between Cam and I is all out of love, truly out of love. I actually genuinely feel for Cam and I like Cam. I think he's awesome.
That's the real reason I shaved my head. I was like,
oh, thanks.
I want to be more like Cam.
Yeah, he's dope.
Oh,
we just
shucks.
Put a facade on Twitter.
Oh, cut it out. Cut it out.
I actually think he's pretty cool. I think some people actually think I don't like you. So I try to make it a point to say it's all fake.
I worry about that sometimes because dryness does not come across well online, nor does anything a lot of times. And so I wonder sometimes if people think this guy's a total arrogant jerk, or he's a total idiot, or I don't know. I also don't really care because, you know, like you and the people either. that I tease with, we already understand that we're teasing. So,
but yes, like I said, you can check out Cam Ray. Cam, once again, where can the good folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Cam Ray, or you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/CamRaySemiProductions.
You can also not find him in the White House.
I will not be at the White House.
I'm in the White House.
Oh, I see goodness. What you did there.
I pulled a funny.
Yeah, it's not funny. Cut this.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, post it.
At any rate, we are pizza and parsecs. May or may not be gluten-free. Probably not, though. I'm Dave.
I'm definitely not gluten-free. I'm Liv. I'm confused. What?
I want to make our podcast accessible to anybody.
Oh.
If they're allergic to gluten, they can, you know, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vegans are welcome too.
Yeah. You can, like, there was no meat harmed in the making of this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cam's pet might have been harmed.
Oh,
but...
yeah. We might.
He's okay. He's got thick skin.
And you can check out our show, Pizza and Parsecs, over on the aforementioned Red 5 Network, or head on over to our website. We have one of those, pizzaandparsecs.com. If you want to do us a solid, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star, maybe even a 6-star rate and review. We'd truly appreciate that. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
You could leave us a Twin Suns star, too. That'd be great.
A 2-star?
Twins. So if you do 5, it's 10. Twins.
You doing like a magic double strike?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm putting several instants down at the same time.
Okay.
I don't plus think one, plus one. Plus two, plus two.
I'm running out of mana. Anyway, we have socials. You can primarily find us on Twitter at Pizza and Parsecs. Give us all the hollers you've got. We always holler back.
Holla.
And as always, folks, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Mischief Manage, may the force be with you, and God bless.
I actually posted something on my Substack. Just want everybody to know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I post something.